Let's pray. Lord, please open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we may receive your holy word today with real joy. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the hardest parts about being a pastor is sometimes people will ask me for advice about situations in their lives or things that are going on in their world that don't always feel so clear-cut for me to answer, very simple for me to address. Perhaps someone comes to me and they want to talk about a crossroads they're facing in their career. Or perhaps they want to discuss a situation with one of their children that's just very challenging. It's not always clear what to do. Or perhaps they're in a relationship with someone who's very different than them and they don't know how to relate to them. They don't know how to interact with them. And these situations, the truth is, these problems that they come and they share with me, it's not like I can give them a simple memory verse, right? It's not like there's an easy-to-apply biblical principle that if I just look hard enough, I can give it to them and, voila, easy, problem solved, right? It's just not that simple. Things are much more complex than that. And yet, as people come to me, they still want guidance, don't they? They know that the problems are complex, and yet they still want to know what to do. They still want guidance. They still want to respond to the challenges that they're facing in their life. Perhaps you can identify with that yourself, because perhaps your life is exactly like that. Perhaps you, as I'm describing these situations that I'm hearing and listening to, perhaps they describe your life. Your life feels very complex. Your life feels very complicated, and you don't always know what to do. You've probably come to a place in your life where you realize that most of life doesn't seem to fit into any neat little tidy categories like you once might have believed as a much younger person. In fact, oftentimes, maybe the scary thing is you find yourself in situations where none of the rules seem to apply, right? Have you ever come to a crossroads in your life where the choices in front of you are just so unclear, you realize that the choices you're facing, all of them, are morally acceptable, right? And yet, you don't know what to do. You don't know which one to pick. And so what do you do? What do you need to discover in those situations, in those places in life? Well, I think what we need to discover is what the Scripture likes to call wisdom. It's what the Scripture calls wisdom. We need wisdom, don't we? Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom, of course, is the skill or the capacity to make sense of the complex realities of life. It's the ability to navigate these murky situations that we find ourselves in so many times. And do you realize this is actually a major theme of the Bible? It's one of the things the Bible loves to talk about again and again and again. Particularly in the Old Testament, where there's a whole series of books that are devoted to the pursuit of wisdom. Books like Job or Ecclesiastes or the book of Proverbs, all of them are dedicated to exploring this incredible concept, this relevant concept of wisdom. We need wisdom. In fact, one of the funny things is if you read a book like Proverbs or Ecclesiastes or Job, it's amazing how striking it is to our lives here today. They were written thousands of years ago, and yet it feels as though it was addressed to us right here, right now. We need wisdom. And really, that's what we're going to be talking about this fall as we begin a new series dedicated to exploring this concept of wisdom, what wisdom is like. And to help us to do that, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs to help us get a vital handle on this vital reality. We're going to be spending this whole fall and probably the beginning of the new year as well after Advent looking at the book of Proverbs and what it has to teach us about the reality of wisdom. And today we're about to begin our sort of opening lesson in chapter 1. But before I get there, I think I probably need to lay out a couple of clarifications right up front, because sometimes you come to a book like Proverbs and it's not as familiar, possibly, or as well known as other books that we know as Christians, but books like Mark or Matthew or some of the epistles of Paul. And so I think I need to clarify a few things about Proverbs. And the first thing is this. The first thing is that Proverbs teaches us a great deal about wisdom, but it doesn't teach us everything. It teaches us a lot about wisdom, but it doesn't explain the whole picture. It's a piece of the pie, you might say, but it's not the whole shebang. And the reason why that's important to point out and to clarify is because all of the wisdom books in the Old Testament are meant to go together. And what the reason why I think it's important to clarify that is because sometimes, in my experience, Christians often gravitate to certain books in the Bible based on their personality or based on their life experience, right? I think we all know this. I think most of us, if we're really honest, we sort of have a canon within the canon. There are books we know that all the scriptures are inspired, all of them are authoritative, but we really like this particular book, and we think this book has sort of the angle on how life really is. And so for some people, they love the book of Proverbs. They are incredibly practical people. They're probably optimistic people. And Proverbs just seems to fit their way of life. Ah, just tell me what to do and I will do it. It just, you know, you have a cause and here's an effect, right? You love the book of Proverbs. But other people, just to be honest, they don't like the book of Proverbs at all. It just feels so cookie cutter, so just standard. They want something else. They want something deeper. They love books like Job or like Ecclesiastes, because what is Job like? What's Ecclesiastes like? These books talk about wisdom, but they talk about its murkiness and its confusion, and the way you have to find wisdom in the midst of things that aren't always clear, that sometimes are opaque. And so that's where they look for wisdom. And that's okay. I think it's okay to like different books. I'm not criticizing that. I have my favorite books of the Bible. The problem comes when you start to sort of pit these books against one another. Instead of seeing what God is doing, he's giving us the canon of Scripture. And these different books are like, they're like different instruments in an orchestra that work together to make a beautiful melody. So I want to say it again. Proverbs is going to teach us a great deal about wisdom, but it's not going to teach us everything. And to know that, you have to read all of Scripture together. Secondly, I need to point out, even within the book of Proverbs, you have to pay attention to the wider context. Even if you're only focusing on this particular book, you need to pay attention to the wider picture. And the reason why I say that is because Proverbs is full of these pithy little sayings, isn't it? You've probably heard them before. One of my favorites is, a soft answer turns away wrath. I think about that many times. I'm in a store, someone's mad. It's a soft answer turns away wrath. You memorize it, right? You've got that deep inside, and that's good. Proverbs has lots of great little sayings like that, and you should memorize them. But do you realize that in order to understand the fullest, deepest meaning of these Proverbs, you have to see it within the context of the whole book? Because Proverbs is not a collection of quotations. I think sometimes people get that impression. Have you ever gone to the store and there's sort of great quotations, right? A book of that. Or, I don't know, maybe Google has this now, where you can just Google great quotations from C.S. Lewis or from Kierkegaard or someone very wise, right? Well, that's not what Proverbs is. Proverbs sometimes can be random, I will admit, but it's not a collection of quotations. All of these sayings are meant to go together. The whole book coheres as one. And we need to pay attention to that. And really, that's what we see in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. These initial chapters, God has given us as sort of an orientation guide to the whole book. You have to know what wisdom is before you can actually understand what those little sayings are all about. And this is the orientation guide that God has given us. And so today, that's what we're going to do. We're going to begin by looking at the opening words of this orientation guide. I encourage you, if you have your bulletins, to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 as we look at this passage together. Proverbs chapter 1. And as we look at it, we're going to ask 3 important questions that really help us as we begin our study of wisdom. 3 critical questions we need to understand. The first one is this. What is wisdom? Anyway, what is wisdom? How do you define it? What does wisdom actually look like? Secondly, why is it worth pursuing? What do we hope to gain from pursuing wisdom? Why is wisdom worth pursuing? And finally, how do we get started on the journey? How do you get started moving towards a life of wisdom? 3 critical questions that we're going to ask today. Now let's start by thinking about the first one. How should we define wisdom? Now let's look what the writer of Proverbs says. It says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Now, right away, what's so helpful for us is we kind of get a clear purpose statement for the whole book of Proverbs. If I can borrow an analogy from the world of academia, I know many of you have had that experience recently or not in the past. This is sort of like the abstract of the book. It's sort of the summary of the argument that, that the writer or the collector of the Proverbs is going to make. I like what one commentator says here. He said, the book of Proverbs opens by breaking up the plain daylight of wisdom into the rainbow of its constituent colors. And so you see, this is what it's doing. He's telling us, this is what wisdom looks like, and I want to give you different facets, different nuances, so you can really understand this reality. And the first thing he tells us is that this book was written so that we might know wisdom. That we might know wisdom. Now, as 21st century Western Americans, we think the word know, and we immediately think of our minds, right? We think this is a matter of the intellect. But to a Hebrew, if you put yourself in the mind of a Hebrew, to know something, it's not just a matter of the intellect. It goes much, much deeper than that. What he's telling us here is this is actually a relational matter. To know something is to know it relationally. For example, if you go to the book of Genesis, and it's helpful sometimes in the old translations, like the King James, it says things like Adam knew his wife Eve. And what it means by that is Adam had intimate relations with his wife Eve. To know something to a Hebrew means not simply to understand a concept, but to know it relationally. It's not just an affair of our minds, you see. It certainly engages our intellects, but it goes much deeper than that. It's also meant to address our hearts and our character and our relationships. We are supposed to have an intimate knowledge of wisdom, an intimate relationship with it. Secondly, the writer tells us here that we're not only supposed to know wisdom, but we're also supposed to know instruction. Instruction. Or some translations like to put it, discipline and training. Wisdom requires discipline. It requires training. What he's telling us here is you're not going to just sort of come upon it haphazardly or carelessly. You're right. You're going to have to, it's going to require some effort. It's going to take some of your time. You are going to have to pursue it diligently. You are going to have to train yourself in this. It will require discipline. Moreover, we're told here that the goal of Proverbs is to help us to understand words of insight. And again, as we just talked about a moment ago, even though knowing wisdom is more than an affair of the mind, it's certainly nothing less, right? It's going to require your mental skill. It's going to require intellectual acumen. You're going to have to turn on your brains and your minds. If you want to be wise, if you want to be discerning, if you want to gain insight. It involves more than your minds, but certainly nothing less than them. And then he says in verse 3, we are to receive instruction in wise dealing. I think this is really fascinating because he says this word receive. So he's pointing out the fact that we need to pursue it, we need to be diligent in it, we need to train ourselves in it, but then he says also you need to receive it as well. You need to receive wisdom. And what he's communicating to us here is that wisdom is something, not just something that we acquire, but also something that we receive. It's a gift as well as a pursuit. And then he tells us here that we need to understand instruction in wise dealings. This is a very interesting phrase. It's one of these Hebrew phrases. It's actually kind of hard to translate because it doesn't necessarily come across real well in English. But basically what it means to have wise dealings means to have good instincts. It means to have good practical sense. It means being able to read a situation or a circumstance properly. It's what we sometimes now describe as being emotionally intelligent, right? You can know the right thing, but then you might not know how to use that. An example I've often thought about just as a pastor is sometimes real wisdom, instruction in wise dealing, being wise is knowing when it's appropriate to share a verse like Romans 8:28 with someone. Do you know that verse? God, or how does it go? God works all things together for good. Knowing when it's appropriate to share that verse and when it's not appropriate to share that verse. That's wisdom. It's being emotionally intelligent. It's being able to discern when to speak and also when to shut up, when to be silent. The verse is always true, but the wise person knows when to use it. And that's what the book of Proverbs wants to help us move towards this goal of wisdom. And then finally, he tells us that we are to receive instruction in righteousness, justice, and equity. And that's great too, because it reminds us that pursuing wisdom is also pursuing ethical life, a life of virtue. In other words, you see, being wise, it means that there's more to life than simply being smart. It's more to life than simply being shrewd. Being wise also involves being righteous, being a just person, being a fair person. You're not going to be wise if you are also unethical. And you see, when you put all these facets together, and it's kind of a laundry list, and I know it's a lot to consider, but you realize what he's getting at here. He's saying wisdom is not maybe what you thought it was. It's not simply being smart. It's not simply having a great heart. It's all of these things together. You need all of these things. Wisdom is an incredibly rich, multifaceted reality. It involves not just your minds, but your hearts, not just your instincts, but also your ethics. It involves your whole being. It's an invitation. This is what wisdom really is, and he's inviting you into it. Come and move in this direction. And of course, that brings us to the second question. Well, why is it worth pursuing? If that's what wisdom is, why should we pursue it? Why should we go after wisdom? And he tells us in verse 4, he says, the goal of Proverbs is, first of all, to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. Prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And this is another thing you need to realize about the book of Proverbs. It was probably originally used as sort of an orientation guide, not just for people in general, but most particularly for those who are young. It was probably originally used, we're not entirely sure, probably in schools or certainly in homes where parents, and especially fathers, would use this book as a way to train their children in the ways of wisdom. And we'll see that over and over again in the book of Proverbs. It is addressed to everyone, but in particular, it seems as though fathers were training their sons how to be wise. And what he says here is he wants to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And this word prudence, the first time I thought of it, I don't know if you remember, you're probably not old enough, but if you remember, there was a great Saturday Night Live skit where President George Bush was always saying, you need to be prudent, you need to be, and I just could not get that out of my mind as I was looking at this verse, and it didn't always have the most positive connotation in my mind, but it's actually a very, very good thing. It's a critical component of wisdom. And what he's saying here, one commentator, Tremper Longman, puts it this way. He said, prudence is the ability to use reason to navigate the problems of life. What prudence does is it carefully considers the situation before rushing in. It implies having a cool head. And you see, that's why wisdom is worth having. That's why it's worth pursuing. This is what you will gain if you pursue a life of wisdom. You will become prudent. In the sense, you will learn how to control your impulses. You'll not just react to life, you'll actually know how to wisely consider what to do. You'll be able to ponder how to respond appropriately to all the challenges that life throws at you. You will be wise. That's why you should pursue this. And what he says here is, this is a gift that he wants to give to the simple. To the simple. Again, we have to consider this word, because again, it's probably not something that sounds super appealing. But what he's getting at here, this is not used in a pejorative sense. It's simply a reference to those who are inexperienced, those who are naive. It's not the same thing as being a fool or a mocker, which Proverbs is always warning us about. And so what's the difference between a fool and someone who's simple? There is a real difference. What is it? Well, the difference between someone who's a fool and someone who's simple is that the simple person is teachable. The simple are those who are willing to be corrected. They may not have much experience with life. They may not even have the highest IQ, but they are willing to be taught. They are open to being guided by others. And ironically, this is a key aspect of wisdom I think has almost been completely forgotten today. We think sort of wisdom is sort of getting to the very top, and you are a wise person, right? But real wisdom is accepting this posture of teachability. I remember thinking about this several years ago. I was working in college ministry with a group called InterVarsity at North Carolina State University. And one day I had a conversation with my supervisor named Terry. And we were talking about, I was brand new on staff. We were talking about what are the sort of students that we should be looking for to invite to be small group leaders or to help us with our weekly meeting or to help us with outreach events. And I remember she said something I've never forgotten. She said, Nathan, you want to look for students who are maturing Christians. maturing Christians. Not necessarily those who are mature Christians. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, you want to look for people who are willing to learn. You are wanting to look for students who are open to growing as leaders, open to growing as believers in Christ. You want to look for students who've accepted this posture of being teachable. She said, in particular, don't look for those who think they have arrived. Instead, seek out those who know that they haven't, but who are willing to move in that direction. Because those are the wise people. Those are the leaders that you really want. And I think that's exactly what the writer of Proverbs is saying to us. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says here, let the wise hear and increase in learning. And the one who understands, obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And you see what these verses are assuming? They're assuming that the wise need to become wiser. And the mature need to continue to mature. That's what they need. And isn't that a word that we need to hear today? Isn't this a word for you and for me? Because I think one of the most important temptations that often confronts people who've been Christians for a very long time is this idea that they have somehow arrived. That somehow they have reached a pinnacle of growth and therefore they can rest on their laurels. Therefore they can simply coast. They are now a quote-unquote mature Christian. Do you realize getting to that place is actually one of the most dangerous places that you can be? It's a very dangerous place to be. I remember coming face-to-face with this myself several years ago. I was a student at Wheaton College. And I remember one time I was, one semester, we had to take a Bible class. I think it was a New Testament class that was sort of required for our degree. And I remember in the class, I met a student in the class whose name was Danny. And I had discovered that Danny was a Colson scholar, which meant that he had come to Christ in prison. After he'd been released, he'd been given a scholarship by Prison Fellowship, hence the name Chuck Colson Scholar, and now he was pursuing his college degree. And here he was in my Intro to New Testament class, and he was probably, if my memory serves me right, he was probably in his mid-40s, and he's surrounded by a bunch of upper-middle-class white evangelical Christians who thought they knew everything. A bunch of jaded 20-year-olds who thought, what does this Bible professor have to teach us? And I remember sitting in that class and just being chastened by Danny. Because here he was, and he was so eager to learn. Here he was, so ready to explore. Here he was, willing to be led. He might not have known as much theology or had as much experience in church, but in fact, he was much wiser than most of us. Because he actually wanted to be taught. He was assuming a posture of being teachable. And you see, that's what we really need, isn't it? That's what wisdom really looks like. That's actually the goal of Proverbs. It's to invite us to this place where we not simply know wisdom, but we're hungering for it, where we are pursuing it, where we're seeking out with our whole being, where we are dedicated to growing our entire lives until we go and be with Jesus in eternity. That's what it means to be wise. And so that brings us to our last question. If that's what wisdom is, if that's why it's worth pursuing, well, then how do we begin? How do we begin the journey towards wisdom? And the writer tells us. Look at verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And here you see we have what you might call the motto of Proverbs. Because this one little verse encapsulates the whole book in one pithy little saying right here. In fact, this is a verse I would encourage you to memorize. If you haven't ever memorized this, I would encourage you to memorize it this month, to meditate on it. In fact, you'll notice right below the sermon heading, we're going to put it right down there for the next several weeks. So I encourage you to do that. And so if you have a roommate or a spouse, maybe memorize it with them. Or if you have children, maybe do this together over a meal. Memorize this verse. Meditate on this part of Scripture, because this is what wisdom really is. This is the very heart of the Proverbs, the very heart of wisdom itself. Because you see, what it reveals is that there is a launching point for a life of wisdom. There is a launching point. Everything that we've talked about so far in verses 1 through 6, all about being able to navigate the complexities of life, Being able to acquire good instincts, to know when to speak and when to be silent, how to grow into a life of virtue. All of these things are rooted in this idea of fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, most basically, I think what it means is to grasp who God really is. It's to understand the fact that He is our creator. He is our sustainer. It's to put our trust in the truth that He is the one who upholds the universe every second of every day and whose imprint is over every single aspect, every single cranny and nook of creation of the universe itself. It belongs to Him. And therefore, we should live in awe and fear and respect of Him. It doesn't mean we need to live in terror of Him, as sometimes people mistakenly believe. I said learning how to fear the Lord is learning how to live in a place where you understand and accept the fact that He is the Almighty and you are not. He is the Almighty One and you are not. Because you see, to ignore this truth or to sidestep it or even worse, to dismiss it is the very definition of what it means to become a fool. And as the writer of Proverbs says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundation. It's the cornerstone of all genuine knowledge of life. It's the fear of the Lord. And do you realize that this fear of the Lord is actually some of the best news that we can receive? To fear the Lord is good news for you and for me. I like what a woman named Alice McKenzie has to say about this. She's written a couple of very excellent books on the topic of wisdom in the Bible. And in them, she makes a couple of very important observations. First of all, she makes a contrast between the type of wisdom that's described for us here in the Proverbs and the type of wisdom that we often hear about or see in the self-help literature that's all around us in our society. And this is what she says. She says, in self-help wisdom, we attain wisdom by following a list of rules about how we're supposed to think and how we're supposed to act. But she says, according to the Proverbs, we attain wisdom by staying in touch with its source. She says, wisdom is more than following a set of rules. It's more than following a set of rules, she says. It's about cultivating a lifelong relationship with a person. Do you want to be wise? There's not rules you need to memorize. There's things you probably should memorize. But most importantly, when you get right down to it, the most important thing is to stay in touch with the source itself, the source of wisdom itself, which is the Lord. And secondly, I like how she says it this way. She says, when you think about verse 7, at first it sounds intimidating, but then you realize that the fear of the Lord is the only security which life really holds. She says, when we fear the Lord, we discover that we really have no need to fear anyone or anything else. When you learn to fear the Lord, who's the source of all wisdom, it suddenly dissipates all the other fears that you have in your life. And see, that's what the Lord really wants for us, isn't it? That's His deep desire. That's the reason why He's encouraging us to begin this quest towards wisdom. Because His goal is not simply to help us to come to grips with reality, and He really does want that for us. And His goal is not simply to help us to make sense of the world, and He really desires that for you and me too. But even more importantly, what the Lord wants us to discover is Himself. The Lord wants us to see and to taste and to experience who He really is, what He's really like, to sense His beauty, His grandeur, to know what He is like in the world that He has created as the theater of His glory. That's what He wants for you and for me. So that when the fears of life assail us, and they will, when the fears of life assail us, we can rest secure. Because we have discovered that there's an even deeper fear that's holding us fast. We will know the fear of the Lord, and we will discover that the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, has become our strength. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this book of Proverbs, which invites us into wisdom, and wisdom ultimately points us to You. And I pray that as we begin this fall to study this book, that You would help us to discover and see and taste You in all of Your beauty, all of Your grandeur, all of Your glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.